going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This week is about cheese curds and borrowing the neighbor kid's bicycle.
What's up, Red? Thanks for the bike.
This is a draft week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Excuse my Wisconsin mouth, but why the heck are you not drinking, for Christ's sake?
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number... Oh, wait. It's your turn.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was hour number two.
It's hour number three.
Show's just flying by for you, huh?
It really is. I was like, I thought it was hour number two.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday. Gave me time to check my watch. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along at youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We did talk about one of the basketball games already.
Yes, sir.
Which was not really a great game in Milwaukee and Indiana.
Hey, but you know what we got?
Mm-hmm.
Rivalry.
We do.
It's back.
And I don't know if this is turning into a rivalry per se. No, it's you know what? Screw it. We'll do this one first. Can we just get rid of Grizzlies Thunder?
Yes.
Can we just be done with it? For those that are unaware, the Grizzlies have lost to the Thunder by a combined 70 points. It is the second most points that a team has lost combined by through the first two games in the NBA playoffs in NBA history.
Now,
75 is the record.
Adam Silver should have like the easy button. Remember that easy button? Was that Staples that had the easy button?
That would be Staples.
Yes.
He should have the easy button that ends a series when he's just like, no mas. It's like the white towel, or he just goes to a game and at center court at the end of it, throws in the white towel, and that series is over.
Yeah.
This series
is... Go full Caesar, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, do it. Do it. If you have two of them going at the same time, sorry, buddy, you need better scheduling. You're going to have to send the deputy commissioner to go end one.
Look, I am all for making sure the little markets get put on national TV and showcase next group of stars and all those kind of things. If I see this series on TNT or ESPN one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. Move it to NBA TV, True TV, wherever the hell it goes. The Clippers Nuggets absolutely, unequivocally has no business being on NBA TV. None.
No, it should not
None.
Be. It should not be.
It might be the best series of the first round. It should not be relegated to the lower platforms. This year series should be on streaming only.
Tonight is a tough one, though, because you kind of feel like both of the East games could fall into this category tonight. What is the better option here between Orlando-Boston and Miami-Cleveland?
It's Heat-Cavs. At least the Cavs...
one on NBA TV?
Yeah, at least they have some pride, because look... Tatum might not play for the Celtics tonight, which could make this game very ugly. The Celtics will still win, but this might be a full-on rock fight.
We were talking 5.5 is a big line for the Lakers to be favored yesterday. Boston, 10.5. Cleveland, 12.5.
That's surprising to me. I guess that's the Tatum factor of it all, because as great as the Celtics are, look, we saw what the Celtics team was against the Blazers when they sat Brown and Tatum. You saw Pritchard go off for a career high 40 piece.
Yep.
Derek White had what, 37?
Something like that.
Didn't they combine for 80? They had 37 and 43.
Did they really?
I think that's what it was.
Woof.
Yeah. And they both.
But they can fill it up.
Look, again, Orlando, their ability to pull you into the mud and make it nasty, it's unmatched in the NBA. Like, they might as well be Swamp Thing as their mascot.
They do a good job of that.
They do. Miami, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, saying they'll have some pride, but there's a bigger spread in that game.
Yeah, 12 and a half.
Isn't that a little bit weird?
I think the rollover effect and the fact that they're looking at Tyler Hero's matchup and saying this is not going to be advantageous for them one bit.
We didn't talk about this on air. We pulled it up. I pulled it off air. Was that yesterday or Monday? About what the Cavs guards did to Tyler Hero. I pulled up the second spectrum tracking data on Tyler Hero in that game. So Ty Jerome, Donovan Mitchell, and Darius Garland all just went bonkers against the Heat, and they hunted Tyler Hero mercilessly.
By the way, Peyton Pritchard went for 43. Derek White went for 41.
Oh, they both went for 40. That's what it was. So the Tyler Hero of it all, the opponents had I believe it was 78% effective field goal percentage against him. In game one, 78% effective field goal percentage.
That seems bad for one side and really good for the other.
I mean, just absolute. I'm trying to pull it up right now because they played their first game on Saturday.
Well, what was the volume on that? Yeah, I need to know the volume on that.
So it's just I just pulled up that yeah. one game, and I'm pulling up shots by defender right now. Let's see. Hero, yeah, it was 78%. I was actually right. 18 shots were attempted against Tyler Hero as the primary defender.
Oof.
So there's a thing that Second Spectrum has that has the shot quality generated. Basically, if you were to take league average for the shots that were taken against this defender. Or next to me, not against this defender, but just in a league average situation, the shots that were generated, you would have expected a shot quality, expected field goal rate of 49.2% effective field goal percentage, which is still, I mean, that's a little, that's again, league average, it's about 50. In game one, the Cavs shot 28.6 percentage points better than expected. That's the difference. So that you take the 77.78 or 78% effective field percentage, you subtract the 49.2, and you get the difference, and that's what they got. They hunted him, and they destroyed him.
Yikes, but they were making shot. They yes. were shot-making in...
So they're basically getting league average or just slightly below league average looks. And canning them.
Just buckets all around.
And it didn't matter. Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, or Ty Jerome.
That kind of leads you to believe that this line might be too big at 12 and a half, right? When the fact that they're making those tough shots and at a league average clip would have been 49 and they made it 78. But does that make up for how bad that game got out of hand? And what does this kind of look like for Miami moving forward and just folding up the tables and moving on? We discussed this. It didn't benefit them to win the play-in and get, as a franchise, to get to the playoffs. And that looked like a team that
cost them a draft
felt
pick.
That way.
Cost them a draft pick.
Poof.
So it's a very interesting spot kind of coming out of that. Wow.
Can we get to the good game?
Yeah.
Let's get to the good game.
We're up against this. We'll pivot now. Lakers find a way to bounce back. I don't know how much credit I want to give them because it didn't seem like either team really wanted to get to that game or win that game. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Lakers won a basketball game. There, I said it. It was not pretty. It was not great basketball.
No, dude, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. You give me exactly why it was terrible, and I'll tell you why it was beautiful.
Well, here's the thing that I did like about it was that we are getting basketball games, with the exception of the Oklahoma City Thunder drilling the Grizzlies.
Yes.
So many games are being played around 100.
Yeah.
Around 100 points. And here's the thing.
Playoff ball.
Not just playoff basketball. I would argue the best basketball games are played around 105.
Yeah. Like, I can agree with that.
That is the from like 98 to 105, that is the best basketball you can play because it emphasizes both sides of the floor. You get some scoring. You get some defense. You get some transition.
You have one guy with volume in there scoring.
It's not it's not the full-on isolation hell that we saw in the early 2000s. It's not the whole space and pace. Nobody can touch anybody. So you're not playing in the 70s. You're not playing in the 120s. It's that sweet spot right there. And that's what, again, this game was ugly in the sense of, do you remember Ant Edwards? I want to say it was about around February. I score. I don't want to pass the ball every time. The Minnesota Timberwolves in game one, do you know any assists Ant Edwards had?
Nine. None.
No, game one, nine.
Nine?
You know what he had last night?
None.
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 Because when he's at his best, it is working as a multiple, a force multiplier, which Luka Doncic is the best force multiplier in the NBA. That's just what he is. He's a floor-raising monster. Jokic is in a different sense, but like what Luka does is it's a force multiplier of epic proportions. Ant Edwards is nowhere near that yet. And you saw that bear out for the Timberwolves last night because Naz Reid sucked. Dante DiVincenzo sucked. And Jaden McDaniels sucked. Like, they were bad. Now, Naz Reid and Dante picked up some terrible fouls. The officiating in this game for both teams was horrendous.
It was pretty inconsistent.
Oh, God. Like, Dante checked back in, I want to say, in the third quarter and picked up his fourth foul immediately. Like, he checked in and on that possession, as they inbound the ball, foul.
Well, there's one where Naz Reid should have picked up his fifth.
And got it taken down to his third because they said something in the scorebook was wrong and it was charged him the wrong way.
They gave the foul to, I think, DiVincenzo that should have been on him. It was a weird thing.
And there was, I want to say there was nine reviews in this game.
I remember that.
Like, there were so many. And I still don't understand how the Julius Randle one was a block. He got his whole freaking hand before he got to the ball. And look, hand part of the ball kind of thing, yeah. But you got to get more ball than hand. And he got his whole hand, and then he hit the ball. And I'm like, how is that not a foul? I don't understand.
I don't get it either. I think a lot of it is, a lot of these reviews come down to me to the officials just don't like the fact that their authority is being questioned. Mm-hmm. So they'll go inconclusive.
Yeah. Unless it's so over the top and egregious that you get that. But
Minnesota scoring their lowest point total of the year. Not the best time to do that.
5 of 25 from three. They were disjointed. They were broken. And you guess you got to give the Lakers credit. And I'd love to play the clip, but we don't have enough bleeps for it. When J.J. Redick lost his freaking mind and the mics picked up every last bit of it. The Lakers are running a baseline out-of-bounds play, and it just goes, what the bleep are you bleeping doing, you bleeping bleep, 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 bleep. And he was losing it, and he lost it even in the post game of like, because here's the thing. The Lakers won this game, but not because of execution, but because the Minnesota Timberwolves were too stupid to take advantage of the absolute ineptitude of the Lakers in the fourth quarter.
Now, you just described it was an ugly basketball game.
33 total points scored in the fourth quarter.
This is where I say it's beautiful.
Mm.
If the Lakers are going to have to win a game, I would like it to be, you've already lost home court. Mm-hmm. Now you just don't want to go down 0-2 at mm-hmm. home. And one thing we know about Laker fans is that the very first opportunity that they could possibly have to puff out their chest and tell you how great they are, they will. They couldn't even do that last night.
No, they was like, oh, we'll take the win, though.
And so to me, that's beautiful.
No, it's wonderful.
That if the Lakers have to win a game, that's how I want it to happen because I hate the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I hate the Lakers.
I do too, and it puts me in such a bind because two of my favorite players of all time are Lakers.
Doesn't that suck?
Shaq is one of them. I've mentioned this before. Everybody talks about, oh, Shaq was just big. Shaq had some of the best footwork the game has ever seen, and I've always been a major, 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 major appreciator of the feet work. Luka Doncic is one of my favorite players to watch. Yeah, he cries and whines, and yeah, I dismiss it because I love him. But what he is able to do is incredible. But man alive, stop playing with your food.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the Lakers, I love Shaq, love LeBron, mm-hmm. loved Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this may be triggering to some people. I like Robert Horry. I always liked Big Shot Bob. I liked him. Knew his role.
Good God.
Shooting from the corner. Ripping hearts out.
Robert Horry and Sean Elliott are probably two of the players in the NBA in NBA history I hate the most.
Yeah. I love Big Shot Bob.
He was just a hired assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that about Big Shot Bob.
Sean Elliott stepped out.
Yeah. Well, yes. We can agree.
He stepped out.
Okay. That's fine.
That shot still haunts me.
We can agree on that. But I was like,
I had an argument with him about that.
Oh, did you?
10 years ago.
How'd that go?
It was fun. It wasn't like an argument. I just told him he ruined my childhood.
Yeah.
Like, your foot was out. He's like, was it?
No. No. And you know what? He probably has this story of this weirdo coming up to him in Portland, mm-hmm. telling him his foot was out. Yeah. He's like, that was so long ago.
Yeah.
Well, then guess what? Michael Dyer needs a similar story.
Yeah. Well, it's very similar.
Michael Dyer was down.
Yes,
it's Raul Julia in Street Fighter. For you, it was the biggest moment of your life. For me, for Bison, it was just a Tuesday. You guys don't remember the Street Fighter line?
I don't.
I don't think I ever actually saw it
from
that
movie.
Yeah,
no,
it was a terrible movie.
I believe that was Raul Julia's final flick.
It was, and it was.
Yeah,
you
what
know
a way
why?
To go out,
do you,
huh?
No. You know why it was important? His kids wanted him to be in it.
Yeah.
He filmed it with like stage 3 stomach cancer.
Man.
It was like Chadwick Boseman mm-hmm. in Avengers when he knew he was going to die. Like but he kept it quiet. And his kids loved the video game so much that they wanted him in that movie. And he was miserable, but he did it for his kids.
Wow. Yeah. All I knew was Gomez Adams was.
If you watch that movie, he acted the hell out of that movie, and everything else around it was so bad. So bad. But he was so good at it.
Yeah.
Just fantastic stuff.
Huh.
But as it pertains to the Lakers, Luka Doncic has probably been the second best player in the playoffs so far. He was an assist short of a triple-double. And when I said, stop playing with your food, he turned Rudy Gobert inside out, upside down, and backwards in the first quarter when he got him on a switch. And then he proceeded to try to do it for the rest of the game. And I get it. You don't like the guy, and you had that moment against him in the Timberwolves last year and everything that kind of goes with that. But it got to the point where him and Reeves and Braun were hunting him so much. And again, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show. They shot 5 of 17 against Gobert. He, for all of the hell and heat that Rudy catches, he's an unbelievable defender.
He is.
Like, it just is what it is. Like, he's 7'1". Like, he's got, like, yeah, you can get him because you're an all-world player, but, like, of all of the players to hunt, I don't know if you're hunting him the entire game is the best way to go about this.
No, and I think that may be kind of where J.J. Redick was so bristly at the end of the game. It wasn't just mishaps of scheme that they were running. Maybe a little bit of defiance to what they were trying to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because that post-game, J.J. Redick, he can put a happy face on mm-hmm. for the media,
he knows
what the job is.
Mm-hmm. It was intentional.
He was not pleased following that game.
No, I mean,
at all.
The Lakers don't have the lead that they have. They lose that game.
And the lead that they had It was largely what the Minnesota Timberwolves didn't do, not what they did.
It was what? It got it to what, 21, 22?
Yeah. Early, too. Yeah. It was 18 after like a blink of the eye. They were up by 18, and then at the end of the first quarter, they were up, what, 19?
34-15. Yeah,
19 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, after that, Minnesota was like, I guess we're going to play in a rock fight?
Yeah.
And they tried to close that gap, and they damn near did it.
It got dicey.
Down to four.
But that's, again, in the fourth quarter, you had 33 combined points.
Brutal, dude.
Nasty stuff. All right, we're going to keep it in the NBA. There is
the Lakers scored 34 in the first quarter, you said?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It got ugly. there is some news circulating in the NBA, and we've talked about it on the show already. There may be a massive domino falling if the Milwaukee Bucks don't get it together. We'll get to that here coming up next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
We talked about this last week when I mentioned the Portland Trailblazers and their path to the offseason, and kind of not just this particular domino falling if it does, but why, for everybody's like, oh, you know, I get these questions. Who should the Blazers go after in free agency or trades or, well, you know, draft picks and kind of all this stuff? I'm like, talk to me on May 13th. Because number one, you got to know the lottery. And there's already some pre-draft intel about which teams might like which players, kind of where they are right now and where guys are being slotted. And mock drafts are starting to kind of come to fruition even ahead of the lottery. And even though it's early and things are going to switch depending on what happens in the lottery, you kind of get a sense for where guys are going to go. Like, there's VJ Edgecombe is a guy that's rising in drafts. Trey Johnson is a guy that's falling. Ace Bailey is a guy that's falling. Carter Bryant from Arizona is rapidly rising, even though Arizona's season obviously ended probably earlier than they thought it might.
No way. Arizona, University of Arizona basketball season ended before they had their expectations met? No way.
But there's a lot of talk about a lot of guys, and that will shape the draft portion part of this. But teams that fall out in the first round with expectations is the first place to look. And there are two teams squarely in those crosshairs right now, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Milwaukee Bucks. They are both down 0-2, and neither have really been in, I mean, the Grizzlies obviously have not been in the game at all, where the Bucks have really just been behind the eight ball. Chris Haynes said, I don't think, he was asked whether he thought Giannis would finish his career in Milwaukee. I don't think Giannis will finish his career in Milwaukee. Wholesale changes are coming in if they don't make a deep run in the playoffs, front office and coaching staff. The Bucks could go on a different direction if things sour in the postseason. And what he is saying there is what I mentioned last week. The stuff around Giannis Antetokounmpo is loud. At Hoop Summit, I had no less than a half dozen front office decision makers ask me about Giannis, what I had heard. And it was like, I had heard grumblings of things, but there's grumblings of things around everyone. I'll tell you this. The only player that's ever happy is the star on the title winning team.
That's a good point.
There's somebody's always grumpy about something, particularly when you're talking about the top 10 players in the league. And Giannis has made it no secret that he wants to win another title. And as much as I believe that Giannis wants to be a one-team guy in the same way that Dame did, you get to a certain point where it is a decision tree.
But you get to that point, but he also won a title there. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, if Dame won a title here,
he's not going anywhere.
He would have never left.
No.
Never.
No.
No matter how weird it would have gotten.
I think he would have been like, I got it.
Yeah, we got the one. That was the mission. We met the goal, and I'm going to ride this thing out, good, bad, or ugly. We're going to do it.
But he never had that real shot.
He never had that real shot. Giannis did, and he won one.
And we talk about this so much, the amount of luck that goes into winning a title. You know, KD's toe being on the line versus not. Giannis and Chris and Drew all being healthy.
Well, and like not Bucks related, but remember the Raptors were on the ropes the year they won the title and Kawhi hit that shot from behind the backboard?
Yeah, and it hit the rim like 18 different places.
So many little things.
And that's the nature of that beast. And there is a lot of talk around Giannis, and I mentioned this the other day when we talked about the poll from The Athletic about Giannis being overrated. They aren't talking about, well, some of them are talking about overrated because they don't think he has a bag. But a lot of the players are saying he's quote-unquote overrated because he's not this aw shucks immigrant anymore. Hmm. And look, when you make $300 million and you win a title and you win an MVP and you're a constant defensive player of the year and you're one of the three best players on the planet, you really can't be underrated in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, you can be overrated in a sense. But like, there are people that say he's overrated because he plays up the aw shucks stuff a little too much. Giannis cares about individual accolades and records. He does. Like I've heard that from multiple people around the Bucks and Bucks organization through the years. That's just a thing. And to be honest, 98% of these guys do.
And yeah, it's not a character flaw of Giannis. It is the packaging is different than reality.
Yeah. And like, you just think about yourself and your own work endeavors. And yeah, it's different than sports, but like, you want to be loved. You want to be appreciated. Like, you want to have the best-selling jersey. You want to have the most endorsements. Like, those are the things that matter to guys. It really does. And Dame is like one of one in the sense that outside of Steph and LeBron, Dame was the most endorsed athlete in the NBA in Portland. He turned a global brand out of a small market. Giannis has tried to do those things. And look, I think his shoe is fine for Nike, but you don't see guys wearing Greek Freaks everywhere. You know what you saw in the NBA? Dame had one of the most worn PE's shoes, player editions, in the league.
Hmm.
They messed with Dame and his shoe. And he's got the Tissot, and he's got the Gatorade, and he's got the Beats, and he's got he's the face of Adidas basketball. Now, Ant Edwards is the next guy up. Remember, James Harden was supposed to be, and John Wall was supposed to be. All those guys were supposed to be. Damian Lillard was that guy. He took Adidas basketball way up. I think his shoe is number 4 because it's Kobe's, KD's, and then Kyrie's. I believe were the top 3, and I believe Dame was 4, and then Curry's I think overtook Dame over the last couple of years.
And Kyrie's dropped out.
Yes, but all indications seem to point to if the Bucks flame out here, Giannis is not only going to ask out, he's going to ask out to a big market because he wants the big market treatment. He saw Luka Doncic go from Dallas to LA because Dallas, while being the fifth biggest market in the country, is not the biggest NBA market. It is a Cowboys state, and it's not even close. Hmm. The Mavs are nowhere near.
Probably third tier of NBA teams in the state of Texas.
Yes.
Behind the Rockets and Spurs. Yeah.
And so because of that, Luka, he had a top 10 jersey. Luka going to the Lakers, Luka's jersey is number 1 in the NBA. Number one.
Yeah. New Jersey, big fan base.
And the Lakers, the biggest fan base in the country. It's the biggest fan base in the world when it comes to the NBA. I've heard Giannis to New York in one fashion or another, whether that's
the state of New York,
Brooklyn, or the Knicks. But don't get it twisted. There is a team in Texas has a lot of draft capital and would murder to have him.
Houston.
The Houston Rockets.
There are rumblings about KD to Houston. They would push all in for Giannis, who's young.
Or Booker. I would be surprised if KD ended up. Honestly, you know where I think KD ends up right now? Minnesota.
Portland. Oh.
Minnesota.
Cooper Flagg and KD would be nice.
Righting all the wrongs that were. But this if this domino falls, Damian Lillard's not staying in Milwaukee.
No. But and where then, does he go? And it's not back to Portland.
Not on this contract. But I could see him ending up in Denver.
Yeah. And for those that are wondering, too, if Giannis wants out and to be a part of a deal, it's a non-starter because of where Milwaukee is in the luxury tax. They've got to go like a one-team deal. Three-team deals with the way that they're in the second apron, it is damn near impossible to do.
Well, it could be a three-team deal in the sense of
aggregate players.
Yes, so it would end up like
it'd be a one-for-one-for-one.
Well,
or two for two for two, or three.
They can't aggregate players going with Giannis.
Yeah.
So it'd be like let's just say it's Giannis to the Rockets. The Rockets, because they're below, can aggregate players. They could put Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, Reed Sheppard, whatever, both hell of, and then
but you all can't their have picks. Giannis and Pat Connaughton.
No, so like it does make it more difficult. And here's the other thing: the Bucks are not a team that is like they're not cheap, but they're not a team that historically has spent a ton of money. They have been in the second apron for 2 years. They cannot, if they lose in the first round, they physically cannot go into the second apron again.
But how do you do that with, you got to go dollar for dollar.
Mm-hmm. Within a percentage, I think it's 120%.
Yeah. So you'd have to, you're having to bring in money as well. That's the tough part about.
Well, that's the thing is, Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green are both like $30-ish million, so you can get there.
Okay,
it's difficult, and his landing spots will be limited by that contract.
Jeez.
But trading for a top three player in the NBA, super helpful.
Helpful,
but it's definitely something to watch out for here. As there's more and more noise, it's a snowball rolling downhill. Coming up, we're gonna wrap up today's show. An NFL legend considering offering up his number to a draft pick. Danny Dusty, Tinny the Fan. All right, quick hot rod here because we do have enough time to do it. 6 years ago today, Damian Lillard, 50 points, woof, including a shot that sent Paul George up to the press conference to do this.
Paul, is there anything a defender can do with the way the game's gone in terms of those 36, 37-foot three-pointers? When you defended it about as well as you can, at some point you got to let a guy shoot that, don't you, and just live with the results?
Yeah. I mean, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But, hey, he made it. That story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that.
I was just waving goodbye to him. And I think after game three, you know, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing to his wrist. They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all this stuff, and we kept our composure. And after one win, that was what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, it's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was.
Love it.
I love that.
And Paul George has since obviously walked that stance back on the bad shot.
Well, yeah, because he just kept taking them over and over and over again and ripping other teams' souls out with deep shots. That was one of the moments in Blazer history. Now, we have like that one, the Rockets, obviously ending the Rockets series. But I noticed this today, Blazers history on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
April 23rd, also significant. 2011, Brandon Roy hit a 10-foot bank shot with 39.2 seconds remaining to lift the Blazers over the Mavericks and tie the series at two games apiece. That's the one where he came off
knee surgery.
And he scored 18 points in the final quarter, 24 in coming off the bench.
Literally just got chills just. Remember,
holy
smokes. One of my favorite basketball performances of all time.
What a day.
Mm-hmm.
What a day in Blazer history.
It's a good day.
April 23rd is.
Shout out Wheels. It's a great day to be a Blazer.
Yeah. R.I.P. Wheels. All right. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Buck and Isaac. Isaac will be talking with Oregon head football coach Dan Lanning today.
About the program?
About the program and the spring game coming up this Saturday down in Eugene. That'll do it for us, though, today. Up next is primetime. We'll see you Thursday. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.